Well, good morning. Well, as you've heard, the subject for this morning is sin is dead. And that's about an hour and a half, if not 6 hours worth of talking. Because we have to perhaps understand our Bibles a bit more to understand. But it is written. It is written. We will come to it later. So I'll take it from there. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth, where he had been before, but he also knew that the Christians there were a little bit backsliding, a bit confused, but also partially confused because the people around them who didn't believe were influencing them in their beliefs. And he knew he really needed to try and set down what the truth is. So we're going to start at verse 1 of chapter 15. I'm not reading it all. You'll be here all morning reading about 15. But we're going to read the first part of it. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you will have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers. At the same time, most of them were still living, although some have now fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, but I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet are not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. He was trying desperately to get through to all of them about the truth. Simple truths, even today, but they're still not believed or understood by so many. So many refute the life of Jesus or his death or his resurrection, albeit so much was written and there were so many witnesses. This morning, I just want to explore some of those misconceptions and unbelief, for it is so important to our Christian life that we fully understand the blessings that have been freely given to us, but given in such a cruel and agonizing circumstances that we will recover on talking about Easter in a few weeks' time. First, understand the cross was planned from eternity. This was not a last minute decision. This was not something, oh, perhaps you ought to do this or that. Because you have to go back, in fact, into Old Testament times to see how many times that this truth is written. And I do want to quote one, that is all, is in Isaiah 53, and one we often get at Christmas. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed, and we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There are many other references to this in the Old Testament. I've not got time to read them all this morning, but that sums it up. And this was written hundreds of years before Easter. God cannot abide sin. He cannot be near it or condone it. Because we sin, We're separated from God. Simple as that. Whether you punch a prince or a pauper or steal from a bank or a poor man, it's all sin. And one misconception we all have, or most of us have, there's no grading of sin. You know, if it's a big sin, what we call killing somebody or rape or whatever, down to saying, I'll just take that pencil, I'll just take that pen. It's all sin. As far as God's concerned, you could just stand up there with a pencil and he'd say, that's sin, I can't get at you. If you stole that, that's sin, go away. They're all sin. He doesn't differentiate in our lives the big ones from the small ones. We do in our law system, he doesn't. His law says it's all sin. It all has to be corrected. But the point is, as far as he's concerned, he can't go near it. And that's something we have to really come to terms with. He cannot bear any form of sin. In the Old Testament times, they used to go through rituals to bring themselves back to the start. They would sacrifice goats, they would kill sheep and cows and whatever, and seek God's forgiveness. But that was such a temporary solution. You had to keep doing this every time. And they all had to come together. They all had to go for a high priest who would then go behind the curtain and seek forgiveness on all their behalves. It was a long process. And it wasn't a daily one, it's something only occurred every now and again. And all that sin was being carried around every day. Not the answer. The problem they had was they did not have this, or most of them did not have this personal relationship with God, which is what they needed. Jesus was and is the only answer. And the cross was the vehicle he used to provide the answer. Jesus had to die on the cross to take upon himself the sins of the world. In those horrible moments, all our sins were shoveled upon him. Sins he would never have contemplated were suddenly aimed and absorbed by him. How could this perfect, innocent man be so guilty of all our sins? Of the murder, the rape, the abuse, the lies. The list is endless. For somebody to point a finger at him and said, you're the guilty one. You're taking that sin. You're going to be persecuted for that sin. I mean, I can remember the times, years ago at school, being accused of things I never did. And I got so indignant. I didn't do that. Didn't want to tell who did do it, but I didn't do it. But he could have just stood and said, no, it's not me, I didn't do anything. But no, he absorbed the lot. But in the process, of course, he then stood on that cross before his father, who said, whoa, you can stay away from me. I'm not having that sin. Father, why have you forsaken me? Simple words. Oh, how awful he must have felt. But as they all got absorbed, they all got cancelled. And then he suddenly cried, it is finished. Now, three little words, very important words. It was a forever statement. Not for that day, not for what had gone past, but it was forever. It is finished. There are those still around that want Jesus to come back and forgive them again. Doesn't have to. It's finished. It's done. How many times have I heard people say, oh, I can't go back to church. I've been so sinful, I could not go back to church. I couldn't talk to the Lord. I couldn't pray to the Lord. And my sins are so great. That restoration is only a prayer away. All he asks us to do is seek forgiveness. It's so simple. I say it's simple. No, it's not. Sometimes it's very painful. That's all we have to do for that sin to be forgiven. That's not that difficult, but we should always remember that. Never turn away from him because of your sin. He went to that cross so that you could turn to him, not away from him. But don't be in any doubt, sin has its consequences, but they're on this earth. Normally they hurt others. And you need to pray and seek forgiveness, possibly to them, but certainly to God. And say, I've hurt somebody because of what I've done. It may not be there and then, it may be months later, it may be years later, but you have committed the sin, you have hurt someone. Always think of that when you pray to God asking for forgiveness. Not one of us is perfect. We all sin, and we know people that sin. But even amongst us all, we must always remember, and there was another part of the story, don't cast the first stone on somebody else. Just think of your own sins first. We all sin, and we all need to turn to him, and we need to turn to him on a daily basis in prayer. Lord, forgive me. But let's not forget what happened after that cross, because that's part of the story. You know, it was on there, people say, oh yes, but the resurrection didn't happen. He didn't really die, did he? Yes, he did. The Romans would never let him off that cross unless he was dead. They would normally would let you hang there for days until you died, but you would die before you came down. But Christ died much more quickly than they expected. And the Romans allowed him to be taken down, and they escorted everybody else that took him into the cave, dressed him for burial, and shut the cave door, the very, very big stone that he would not been able to remove. It is also part of that equation that we know. Martin Luther put it a very succinct way. He said, everything depends on our retaining a firm hold on this doctrine of the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection. If this one totters and no longer counts, all the other statements of the Bible lose their value and validity. All parts of Easter are important. But death had been swallowed up in victory. He had conquered death. Our sin is then covered by his behavior on that cross and all he absorbed. And these words are not my words, although Paul mentions them in there. They're not really his words, because what he said was, I am telling you what I have received from God, and this knowledge I pass on to you. So don't think these are things that we conjure up as we go along. These are written, passed on to us by God, and then put into scripture. Aren't we lucky that we have all this scripture to read and absorb, understand, and use? The resurrection had to take place. The factual elements of that, we've already covered in what we read. He was seen by so many after the resurrection. 500 plus, not only his disciples, not only his followers, but a lot of other people as well. He was around for quite some time. And many, many people saw him. Nobody can tell, well, they can. It didn't happen. Yes, it did. There's more written about Jesus and his resurrection than was written about Nero and every other lord that was on the earth at that time. But they choose not to accept it. So this is what Paul and others preached. And we accept and know that Jesus Christ is alive. It's a fourth dimension, if you like. Not only he had risen, he's still alive. Jesus took all our sin upon himself. In that one glorious breath, he said, it is finished. Hold fast to this proclamation. He'll not come again to take it away. He'll come again to take us away. Once was enough for all. I am not coming back again. In his resurrection, he was able to continue his relationship with his Father. He went back to the Father. And because he is there, he's our representative with God. We couldn't get to God without him. It's only because Jesus took our sin and said, this man comes to you free of sin. Oh, how fantastic. Because how could I stand my life today if I knew that that was still hanging on my shoulders? How could I possibly reach heaven and say, I've still got this bundle of sin with me? And God will say, well, you can go away and take it. Oh, I can't see you. But Jesus took it away. We thank God. Because when you receive the word of God, you welcomed it, not as a word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which now reigns in you. He died for our sins to open the door to God's presence. That curtain in the temple was torn into at the same time to tell you, you don't need to go through other people to have that relationship with God. It's with you. You're now the high priest. You just sit down and you pray and talk to him and you will receive. Somebody once, I read it. Wondering sometime or other, you know, did I really understand this? Did I really believe all this? Do I accept that all this? And a little voice turned around and said, well, are you feeling guilty about that sin? I said, yes. He said, the Spirit's talking to you. The Spirit's in you. Just follow the Spirit. And I thought, well, yeah, that's right. Otherwise, I wouldn't feel guilty, would I? He'd already placed that little bit of spirit. Hey, you, that was not right, was it? That was the Holy Spirit talking to me and telling me what I needed to do. It's all down in Scripture. If it comes to you, if you feel that way, you know you're still with God. You know that God still wants you. You know that Jesus wants to talk to you. But the Holy Spirit is just jogging you to say, you've got something to talk to him about. And you need to talk to him about. And now's the time to talk to him about it. I sometimes take this death on the cross, the taking the sins away, a little picture, if you like, that I could be in a dark filled room and it's full of sin. And I could go to the window and pull back the curtains and see the sun's light coming through. Now you can take the sun as S-U-N or S-O-N, but it came in through the room and all the darkness was gone and all the sin was gone. That's a relationship you have to have with your Lord. Just pull back the curtains and say, I want to be there. I want to be free of sin. I want to be part of the Lord's work. Just pull those curtains back and know the warmth that comes with that sun. As to the truth, yeah, there's a lot of it. What is in here you believe. I've said it before and I still go back to it so many times in 1 John 1. That for those of you who have difficulty in believing any parts of what you read in the Bible, that John turned around and said, I was there. This was when he was 90 odd years old. He'd been running his church for goodness how many years. He'd been preaching for how many years, you want to mention. But John said, I was there from the beginning. I saw him come out. I saw him select me. I said, we went round with him for 3 years. I listened to everything he said. I touched him. I listened to him. I was fed by him. I saw him die at that cross. I saw him go into the burial chamber. I saw him get resurrected. I saw him go back to heaven. I've seen it all. Just believe what I'm telling you. And if you do, you'll know it all. It's all there for you. And it was good enough to write it down. So it just wasn't in his head. It's what he then wrote. And he wrote to tell other people and he wrote to tell his church. So he just asks you to believe what is written in its entirety. Don't question, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. It's God's truth. And that took me back to John in 1:29 John. He pointed out, behold, the Lamb of God who died. Another prediction of what was to come. Now back to the death of sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, we've been reading part of, Paul says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went to that cross and was resurrected, he was the death of sin. He now is Lord over sin. It is finished. Sin cannot harm him. And when you're with him, sin won't harm you as long as you are with him, because they will always look after you through eternity. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world, in a country, in a town, which is so much a mixture of belief. Even as Christians, we are influenced by those beliefs. This is exactly what Paul found in Corinth, and of course elsewhere in his travels. And as much as we want and we try very hard to be true to our Christianity and true to you, Lord, there are times when things around us tempt us, just absorb us sometimes. We just walk into things we don't know that we're walking into. But Paul, John, and others in the Bible wrote to ensure that people knew the truth. And as John said, I was there. I know it's the truth. They wrote what they saw. We are so privileged to be able to pick up our Bible and read the truth. Such a treasure. Such an elongated book. It's not saying I've read it once, that's fine. Every time I go back to a chapter or a verse, I can see more in it. I can see different things in it. Lord, open our eyes to the whole truth. Help us to accept the full truth. As we come to Easter, let us not concentrate on one part of it, or no one part of it. It is a whole. He didn't have to be arrested. He could have just disappeared. He didn't have to be crucified. But it was his Father's will, and he went. And he died, and he accepted all our sin. Every sin that we'll ever commit, he accepted. How embarrassing for each one of us that he does, but he does. And we seek his forgiveness. And he died on the cross, and he was buried, wrapped up in all that sin. But when he came out, the sin clothes were gone. He was a new beginning, just as we will be a new beginning, and we are a new beginning. Sins were taken away. Jesus has the victory, and we have the everlasting life by obeying and following each day his will, his way. So Lord, help us, because sometimes that's very hard. Sometimes we forget the things we've done. Even when the Holy Spirit prompts us, there are things that we've done. So I pray this morning for all of us that we'll just hold closer to you, knowing the truth, the whole truth. Not listening to park arguments from somebody else. But Jesus said this, God said this, taken out of context. Let's put it all back into context. Yes, but the cross was everything in that 3 days. It covered everything, and it covers me, and it will cover me into eternity. Thank you, Lord. Amen.